And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. Hope your day is going well. Very rainy out there, and we're expecting rain for at least the next hour. Some heavy rain, mainly in Coffeyville as of right now, but all of Montgomery County has gotten a nice drink of water this morning. And joining us in studio, as he does the second Friday of each month, we have State Senator Virgil Peck. And sir, good morning. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning, Kyle. I'm doing great. Actually, it was kind of nice to have the cool temperatures this morning.
It has cooled it down, 71 degrees right now. So it does feel really nice out there compared to the 99 we had yesterday. So
Yesterday, my wife asked in quotes, to go hang out some sheets, some laundry. And so I did that, and it seemed like they were almost dry before I got finished hanging them all out, as hot and breezy as it is. And speaking of asked, this is the 13th on Sunday. My wife and I will celebrate 44 years of marriage.
Yay, congratulations. That's awesome.
That's a little unusual because my wife's 39 years of age. The numbers just aren't adding up here, Kyle. I can't figure that out. But 44 years, and honestly, it's gone by very quick. As someone who's now approaching myself 50, no, I'm older than that. But anyway, 44 years of marriage coming up on Sunday. So I just thought I would mention that because, speaking of asking, I did ask her. And that was not really a memorable occasion for me, but I did ask her. I wasn't romantic like the guys are nowadays.
Right. So
where you get down on your knee, you go on a bridge at sunset and all that. No, I'm sorry. But it's worked.
Hey, there we go. Hey, but congratulations, though. Very happy for you on that. All right, we got a few things we want to discuss this morning, so we'll go ahead and get to it. You are wanting to talk about how Oklahoma and I do believe Texas, they have like back-to-school tax-free weekends for when you buy stuff that's for school that's tax-free, and I don't think we have that here, and that's something we're kind of wanting to propose eventually, correct?
Well, actually, those who are longtime listeners know that I have proposed that several times as a member of the House. But yes, our neighbors to the south, Oklahoma, and to the east in Missouri, as well as Arkansas and Iowa, close states, they have a back-to-school sales tax holiday. It was last weekend, so don't go shopping in Oklahoma or Missouri this next weekend. Going to save taxes. But yes, I've gotten it passed in the Kansas House in the past about four times. The Senate never did take it up. But now that I'm in the Senate, maybe it's time to look at that again. And the reason that I think we should do that, not only because a lot of residents of Kansas will travel across the state line to do their back-to-school shopping, it's good for our business owners. They're missing out on these purchases. And I think it's detrimental to Kansas to not have a back-to-school holiday, because if a person goes on a Friday or Saturday to Bartlesville or Joplin or wherever, spends some time purchasing some supplies, well, they're most likely going to buy things that are not tax-exempt. And they're going to maybe stop and grab a bite to eat and maybe fill up with fuel. So I just think it's detrimental to Kansas to not have it. I did find it interesting. There are actually a total of 15 states that have a back-to-school sales tax holiday. And then looking at sales taxes, five states have no sales tax. Probably some people knew that. I did not. Alaska, Delaware, Montana, New Hampshire, and Oregon do not have a sales tax. And then of the 45 states that do have a sales tax, shifting topics just a little bit, 32 of them do not tax groceries in their state. 13 do, and Kansas is number two in the amount of state sales tax we charge on groceries. If it wasn't for Mississippi, we'd be number one. Mississippi state sales tax is 7% on groceries, and in Kansas, we're at 6.5%, plus you add in the local, you're near another 10% when you buy groceries. So I found that interesting. We do have in Kansas a food sales tax rebate program. It's a little bit cumbersome. I personally support reducing or eliminating the sales tax on groceries. However, some would say we can't afford to do that. Well, Kyle, as you and Representative Blex have talked last week, revenue in Kansas for the month of July was again above estimates. And it had been for several months running. And what it means is we're not necessarily flush with money, but we are above estimates, and the budget is based off of the estimates. So I think right now is a great time for the legislature to look at some tax cuts for Kansas citizens, things that would incentivize them. And I've had a lot of conversations during this interim with people, and taxes is always a part of that conversation. What are you going to do to help you out on taxes and so forth? But I just thought I would mention that about sales tax, because, like I say, longtime listeners have heard me talk about sales tax, back-to-school sales tax holiday for a lot of years, and know I've gotten it passed in the House but not the Senate. So we'll see what the future holds on that topic.
Absolutely, and I think it would be a boon for the state of Kansas to be able to get that back-to-school sales tax, basically waive tax on back-to-school items. And that will help especially like low-income families as well. That'll knock that tax off, and it'll be, I know everybody would be grateful for that. So
You're right. And it would include school supplies, clothing, shoes, things that parents, grandparents are purchasing for children to go back to school. And for a person who doesn't have a child that goes back to school, you don't realize how much money can be spent in getting them ready to go back to school, because you kind of, during the summer, they're wearing older clothes a lot of times. So you buying them new shoes, new clothes, new backpacks. And most parents will still buy pencils, pens, you know, paper, those type of things. So I think it'd be a good thing.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with you on that. We're also going to talk about, last time you were here 2 weeks ago, you were talking about how Montgomery County had led the state, unfortunately, and people leaving the county. The latest census numbers, those were preliminary numbers. However, you have the actual numbers now, and they actually look worse, do they not?
Sadly, they do, and you are right. Yesterday, so this is fresh off the press, as they would say back in the day. Yesterday is when the numbers came out. And all this relates to the redistricting, redrawing legislative boundaries. And just briefly, before we get to some numbers, we had a redistricting meeting in Chanute a couple days ago on Wednesday. And I was frankly disappointed in the turnout. There weren't a lot of input. This redistricting tour that the legislature is taking is basically a listening tour to hear what residents of Kansas think is important as it relates to redrawing the boundaries. And I found it interesting. I would be interested to hear from my constituents to know what they think. One of the speakers in Chanute was saying that the fact that Neosho County has three different House members is not a good thing. It divides the county up among three different districts, and they don't have one real representative they can count on. Well, I guess my thinking is different, Kyle. I think that having additional representation has got three people speaking up for your county. Here in Montgomery, we've got three House members speaking up for us, and then two senators. But I would be interested to know what the listeners think and constituents think as it relates to redistricting. There will be a second round of hearings that we will have. I don't know exactly because I don't schedule them, but I'm going to guess probably in October, maybe late September. So there will be another opportunity to voice your thoughts, and you can always do it online and so forth. Now, what you had mentioned, being number one, Kyle, is a lot of times great, but only in certain arenas. Being number one in the loss of population is not positive. In Montgomery County, the official count for the 2020 census is we have 31,486 residents. That is down almost 4,000 from 2010.
Wow, that's
3,985. 11.25%, which is worse than what we had talked about a couple weeks ago with the preliminary numbers. But we've got to somehow figure out how to reverse that. And it's not just state legislators. It's got to be the county and the cities in Montgomery County. We've got to stop the bleeding of people leaving our county, because it places a bigger burden on those who do stay here as far as it is relates to paying taxes. And or we're going to have to cut some spending. But being number one was not good, but losing that 4,000 residents means that legislative district boundaries are going to change. Speaking of Senate District 15, which is the district I represent, LeBec County lost 1,400 residents, and Neosho County lost 600. So all total, you're looking at right at 6,000 loss in those three counties of population. Southeast Kansas did not fare well, and the population growth, because it was basically stagnant or, in most cases, a significant loss. Overall, as a state, we did gain right at 85,000 residents. But when you look at the three largest counties, or three big counties, Johnson County gained 65,000. Sedgwick County, which is Wichita, gained 25,000. And then Wyandotte County, which is just north of Sedgwick, that's Kansas City, Kansas, they gained almost 12,000. So what does that mean? And the reason I bring this up is the fact that, again, legislative district boundaries are drawn according to population shifts. Johnson County gaining 65,000 residents, that is almost an additional three Kansas House seats. And then Sedgwick County gaining House seats. And that 65,000 is almost a whole Senate seat. So, again, just as we talked about 2 weeks ago, Kyle, loss of population in rural areas means those of us who do represent in Topeka the rural areas have got to be more on our game. We've got to do a better job making certain that we speak up for the rural areas. We've got to work with our urban colleagues to help them get some things that they feel are important for urban areas so we can get some things that are important for the rural areas. But I was disheartened, honestly. I was hoping the preliminary numbers were the worst they would be, or maybe they would reverse, but nope, they went the other direction for us. And sad news.
Absolutely. Hate to hear that. And unfortunately, like you said, this is the one time you don't want to be number one. So,
no.
In that population loss. Also, another thing that it's been a lot of confusion on it is as the Senate Bill 40, Derek Schmidt, he's started to talk about this. There's a lot of confusion going with the emergency management. Senate Bill 40, correct?
Correct. Yeah, Senate Bill 40 was passed this last session, overwhelmingly, bipartisan. Senate Bill 40 did some changes as it relates to the Kansas Emergency Management Act. Not medical. Kansas Emergency Management Act as it relates to disasters. The legislature, 125 House members, 40 senators weighed in, and it didn't pass unanimously, but it did pass with bipartisan overwhelming support. Weighed in. We are the elected representatives of the citizens of Kansas. We felt this was the way to go. Governor Kelly signed the legislation. But then one district court judge in Johnson County, threw out Senate Bill 40 and said that it was unconstitutional. And as you mentioned, our Attorney General, Derek Schmidt, has appealed that judge's ruling. But he has also asked the Supreme Court to put a stay on that judge's ruling, which would mean that Senate Bill 40 would stay in effect. Because currently, again, as you indicated, Kyle, there's confusion. Some think Senate Bill 40 still is in effect. Some say it's absolutely not in effect, none of it. Some are saying portions of it are. Well, we need certainty. Kansas citizens, Kansas businesses need certainty as it relates to what can and cannot be done. And specifically, I'm getting a lot of emails, a lot of calls, a lot of contacts when I'm out and about mask mandates, about the shot that's called a vaccine, even though it's not technically a vaccine. Many questions that are being asked of me. And just because I'm being asked, I will just say it on the air publicly. I do not support mask mandates. If you want to wear a mask, that's fine by me. I don't care. If you don't want to wear a mask, you should have the freedom not to. Same way with the vaccine. I don't support vaccine passports. I don't support mandatory vaccines. Again, if you want to do that, I don't care. That's your choice, your business. But if you don't want to because you feel that it's detrimental to you or you have some reason health-wise, that's your choice. But also the Speaker of the House and the Senate President have contacted or wrote a joint letter to the state Supreme Court asking that they put a stay on this judge's ruling. So they are joining in, if you will, or agreeing with Attorney General Schmidt that, hey, let's put a stay on this. But it is appealed to the Supreme Court. We want them to weigh in. Now, if we can't get a stay, Kyle, I am going to be pushing for a special session. I've been in communication with some of my Senate colleagues. the governor can call a special session on her own if she would. I don't think she will. Don't know. But two-thirds of the legislature can call a special session if we wish. I think we can get to two-thirds in the Senate fairly easily. Don't know about the House. But I think that if we can't get a stay so we can provide certainty and consistency for Kansans, let's have a special session so we can pass legislation that can be signed into law so everyone in Kansas knows what the guidelines are as it relates to the current situation as it relates to COVID and the pandemic, but specifically the emergency management and how we will handle things in the state of Kansas.
All right. So, again, some interesting information there, especially about Senate Bill 40, how just a lot of confusion with that. We got about 1 minute left, sir. So if anybody has any questions about what we've talked about today or maybe any other concerns, how can they get a hold of you?
I appreciate that offer to put out information. They can email me. My legislative email, honestly, I get so much stuff in it that it's hard to wade through and find the valuable things. So the email that's best to use is Virgil, my name, V-I-R-G-I-L, at Virgil4Senate.com. So again, that's Virgil at Virgil4Senate.com. Or my cell phone number is 620-330-3839. I don't carry my cell phone on me because I am a businessman, and it's not always pertinent to have your cell phone ringing when you're talking business. But if a person wishes to call to voice their concerns, thoughts, I'm happy to visit with them or at least receive their message. And frequently I will have people call and say, hey, this is what I'm calling about and this is my thoughts. No need to call me back. And I appreciate that because I know their thoughts, but it does save time on a longer conversation. So I appreciate the opportunity to visit this morning on KGGF. Always look forward to these opportunities to visit with you, and do need to hear from citizens what they think on various topics.
Absolutely, and we appreciate you coming in, especially with the wild weather out there this morning. We appreciate you coming in today, sir. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we will have news at the top of the hour, and then we will talk to Charles Skank from Skank Insurance. You're listening to the Mighty 690.